verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 1. We're glad to have the Waddell family, Mom and Dad Waddell, here with us, visiting with Tim and his family. And so we're thankful that they were able to come out tonight from across the country. And so we're glad they're able to be here and take a little time with her family as well. Take your Bible then to 2 Thessalonians, and chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want to read verse 1 to 5, and look at the missionary requests of the Apostle Paul when he was on the mission field, when he was doing the missions work, when he was planting churches. So entitled this Missionary Paul's Prayer Request. There's some instruction in there for us to be able to pray for our missionaries. It says there in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." So let's go to the Lord in prayer and consider some of these prayer requests that Paul, as a missionary, had given to churches back home. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd open our eyes as we look into thy word. We pray that the Spirit of God would direct our thoughts and our minds and our hearts to receive what your Spirit has for us to take from thy word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that as we think about these things that Paul asked the brethren to pray for, that we would be more aware of how we should be praying for our missionaries. We have two that we've mentioned tonight, but so many that we have on our prayer list that we want to remember how to pray effectively for them. And so, Lord, help us to recall some of that as we look at these simple thoughts from the Apostle Paul as he talked to his churches that helped him along the way. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got five things there that you can see in the verses we've read that really take the form in some fashion or another of a prayer request for the Christians to pray for the missionary. And so the first one is obvious. He said, pray that there would be open doors for the word of God. Pray that there be open doors. So that's something we need to put on our prayer list for our missionaries is, Lord, I pray that as Alex Buford goes to Uganda, that you begin to open doors in the right places at the right times for him, that there be open doors of opportunity for him to begin to plant the seeds, sow the seeds, and plant the seeds of the gospel in the area to which he's going. And so we're going to pray that way, asking God to open doors for our missionary. We're going to ask also, as we think about open doors, is that God will open the doors of our hearts, of the hearts of the hearers of the gospel, to the gospel itself. So there's another sense in which you can pray for open doors, like Paul's talking about. Now, what book in the Bible talks about an open door there? What's one of the books of the Bible talks about an open door? Yeah, the book of the Revelation talks about the open door. And in the book of the Revelation, there's a door open in heaven. And so when we're talking about open doors and praying for open doors, one of the doors we want to pray God opens is, Lord, open the windows of heaven, open the doors of heaven, and pour out the blessing on the work of missions as he's there doing that work in that land. So Paul asked him to pray that way. He says, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. And so pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course gives the idea of being able to go forward in a unobstructed way through doors that are open, see. And that's the sense of it there. The second aspect of that, the second thought that you might put with that prayer request for the word of the Lord to have free course is that the implication is there that there would be obstacles that would need to be overcome. So that would be the thing that we'd be secondarily wanting to pray for our missionaries is, Lord, there are going to be obstacles, no doubt, to overcome, but we pray that they would be overcome so that the word would have free course, you know, like water running down a stream and making its way down and working its way around the obstacles and getting down to the sea, you know, having those things that are going to be in the way, those rocks, those hills, those mountains, those places that the river will flow around. And so the idea of free course, meaning moving forward and making progress, that idea suggests to us another thought concerning praying for the removing or the overcoming of obstacles. Lord, if they're not taken out of the way, Lord, help him to go over them or around them. Lord, if they're not taken out of the way, help him to know the reason and where the other alternative path might be. So the obstacles being overcome and the hindrances to the Word of God that'll be there. One of the obstacles that we pray our missionaries are going to overcome is the hindrances that are going to exist to the Word of God going forth to meet the need. Paul talked about it in other places in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. He says it this way. He says, "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." But then he adds, "But Satan hindered us." There was an obstacle in the way, kept us from coming. Once and again we tried, but there was an obstacle in the way Satan put there to keep us from coming. So to pray intelligently for our missionaries, one of the things we're going to need to pray is, Lord, there's hindrances, no doubt, in their way. We pray that you'd remove those hindrances, that you'd get them out of the way, that you'd help the missionary to get where he needs to go, do what he needs to do. And so that's a valuable help for us in when we're thinking about how do I pray for my missionary. There's also going to be spiritual hindrances in the way. Not just obstacles of the physical sort, or the practical sort, but there's going to be spiritual hindrances in the way. There's going to be religious prejudices in the way. There's going to be false religions and false religious practices in the way, hindering the progress of the gospel. And so you're going to have that going on. You're going to have, as you do in so many places in Europe, you have religion, but you have a real darkened mind and heart in the people of Europe, broadly speaking. Where you go, there's a lot of resistance to the gospel. They tell us how difficult it is to get the attention of people in Italy or France. We have missionaries in those places and reporting time and again of how it's like chipping away at stone, you know, to try to get through those hardened hearts, you know. And I know you'll have people say, well, the gospel's difficult anywhere, but really it is slower and a longer labor in many places in the world than it is in other places. There's places where the heart is ripe and the harvest is white unto the grain is white unto the harvest. And so we certainly want to be able to pray with our missionaries that are on those more difficult fields that God would help them overcome those obstacles of darkened minds and darkened hearts. Those are good things to pray as we think about missionaries. And then there's practical hindrances too that they must overcome. You can think of some of those when you think of a culture so much different than one they maybe have been raised in. They're going into an entirely foreign culture to them, and they're going to have to overcome that hindrance, and they're going to have to adopt and adapt to that culture as best they can without compromising their testimony. They're going to have to adapt to that culture. And so that's an obstacle there, a hindrance they will have to work through. Language is another barrier that is a hindrance, an obstacle. We must pray for our missionaries that God will help them pick up the language. And certainly they can work through a translator, but you and I both know that a missionary that learns the language of the people indicates to those people his desire for reaching them, in their own language. And so it's a good thing for a missionary to work hard at mastering whatever the culture's language is that he's at. I spoke with a friend of mine today that's got a granddaughter now in New Tribes Mission in Papua New Guinea, and she just felt called to the Lord. She had never married but wanted to go and do something, so she's in Papua New Guinea, and in a very remote area that can only be reached by helicopter. They dropped her in there, and she began to work with the tribe she's working with. Her name is Promise, And she's working, Promise Vaughn is her name. She's working with one of the remote tribes that is so remote they don't even have a written language. So she's been working with them for several years, and she's developed for them their own alphabet and taught them the alphabet and then taught them words, taught them how to write the words. And then from there, she's begun to translate the scriptures for them. So she's gotten 5 books of the Bible now translated and written in their language, which she created because they didn't have this little tribe, distant tribe, had no written language. And what a monumental task that is, you know, to go from having to write a dictionary, having to write the alphabet, then write the words, then write the dictionary, then translate the Bible, you know, a lot to that. But a heart for those people, and certainly those people can understand that this girl from America has come to this remote place and left all the comforts of home to be able to tell them of the truth of the gospel. So that's what we're talking about there. We need to pray for people that are in those kind of circumstances to be able to overcome all of those different things that would hinder the gospel from getting there. So the door opened to the Word of God, and then the obstacles overcome. And the Scripture speaks to this. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, Paul says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries." So there's going to be adversaries. When the door is open, there's still going to be adversaries to overcome. So pray that way. Thirdly, pray that God is glorified. That's what he said there. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that God would be glorified. In the first verse that we read there, it says, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is in you. So they're praying for God to be glorified, but really, more specifically, you can see there in the context, they're praying for God's word to be glorified. Of course, when God's word is glorified, God is also glorified, because the word of God is the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's praying for the glory of God in all of this. You can pray effectively for your missionary by praying, "Lord, I pray that his ministry would glorify you. And I pray that his ministry would glorify the word of God in the eyes of those people to which he's ministering." You know, the missionary that we support, the church planter that we support, is not interested in making a name for himself. He wants to make a name for Jesus Christ. He wants to make a name for the Lord, you know. And so his desire is the glory of the Lord. His desire, any church planter, any missionary's desire, is not to get fame and glory for himself and get talked about and have books written about him. He wants all the books to be written about his Savior and about the marvel of who he serves. And so that's his heart. That's the missionary's heart, the church planter's heart. You know, it's any Christian's heart that loves the Lord. We all have that heart. We're not looking for God to find us a way to get us praise and honor and glory and get our picture on the cover of Time magazine. You know, we don't need any of that. We have a Savior that deserves all of that, and we know we don't deserve any of it. So we're praying for our missionaries that God would be glorified and God's word would be glorified through their ministry. No missionary gets into it for the career opportunity, because you know, there's a lot of easier ways to make money than going to the mission field and you know, giving up the creature comforts and living in a tent and eating grubs, you know, for supper. So there's much easier ways to do it than that. And so the missionary, the church planter, is not looking at this, "Hey, man, a great career opportunity. I'm really advancing this. I can see, you know, some real raises going on there, and I can see some good things happening. I got my 401k going already," and they're not looking at that stuff, you know. A lot of them, you know, are clueless about their finances when they're first going. They've got to be taught some things, you know, but they're not interested in becoming wealthy or making a career of it. They're interested in getting the gospel to the remote regions of the world. So pray God would be glorified in their lives. Number 4, pray that God's word be glorified. And number 5, well, let me mention one thing as we think of God's word being glorified. He gives a compliment to the supporting churches, the people in the supporting churches, in the last part of that verse 1, where he says that it may be glorified even as it is with you. And that's a wonderful truth, that little phrase there at the end. He says, "I want what's happening where you are with the Word of God, with your love of the Word, with your reverence for the word, with your honor of the word of God, with your desire to obey the word of God and spread the word, I want that kind of an attitude about the word of God to permeate over here where we are, where we're working. And so even as it is with you means a lot, you know, it means a lot to Paul that he's telling them, well, I appreciate your testimony, your example of what you think of the word of God, because I want that to be the example that I bring to these people here, as they'll have that same attitude. So good thing. Number five, the last one here, pray that they may be delivered, that they may be delivered. In verse 2 of what we just read, he says that they may, brethren, pray for us, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So the prayer of deliverance, the prayer that they be delivered from those who will not be reasoned with from the word of God. You know, there's those that just, you can't reason with them. They're just unreasonable. And so he said, pray that we get delivered from that. What Paul was saying, he says, I don't want to spend my whole time just arguing back and forth with some hard-headed individual that just will not accept the reasonableness of the truth of the word of God. He wants to do this, and he wants to argue that, and he wants to know where Cain got his wife, and he wants to know, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, and he wants to know why there's all these different religions in the world, and he wants this, and he wants that, and he, when you answer one question, he's got another, none of them have to do with the power and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul's just saying, Lord, deliver me from these that just want a philosophical argument and to want to go around in circles, you know, just shooting the breeze and discussing without getting anywhere. So that's what he's asking for deliverance from, and deliverance from those who have wicked intent. Certainly, it's more prevalent in a remote field of the world where there's been little influence of the gospel for wicked intent to take place. And we're seeing more and more that, you know, turned our way from the left in our culture, from the those that lean to socialism and those that lean to atheism. And the fastest growing religious group is those with no religion at all now in America. And we understand that. Their view is negative towards you and me. And certainly they do have wicked intent at times. There are repeated attempts being made to remove any beneficial status that nonprofit groups and churches have concerning taxes. There's attempts on that. It's coming. It's going to come within our lifetime, probably, that they'll take that away from Christians and give them, remove that, you know, break from them. They've long since stopped viewing churches as a benefit to any culture, any society, and they're looking at churches as a drag on any society because they take up space that's good retail space, or they, you know, they're not contributing enough tax base and so on like that. So they don't tend to look anymore as our culture once did, look on the value of just a church's influence in any community. And I'm not just talking Bible believing independent fundamental Baptist churches. I'm saying that the culture has benefited from the presence of churches in any community. So that's not so much the way it's viewed anymore, and yet. That bit of opposition that we feel now in our culture, multiply that many times when you go to many other cultures of the world, try to do what we are able to do here in China, and you'll be in jail pretty soon, and everything has to be approved through the government and so forth like that. So there, Paul's praying, and Paul's not praying; he's asking his supporting churches for prayer, that they would pray that he would be delivered from those that have a wicked intent against his work of spreading the truth of the gospel. So there is a good thing. And so he kind of concludes it with, it's sort of a backhanded prayer request, but he says to those back home, he says, I'm praying for you, or he implies that, I'm praying for you that you'll stay faithful in your walk and in your work for the Lord. I'm praying for you that way. Look how he ends it up there. He says, pray that we'll be delivered from these unreasonable wicked men, because all men don't have faith. But he said, the Lord is faithful, and he'll establish you and keep you from evil. And he says, we have confidence in the Lord touching you. And he had that confidence because he was praying for them, continuing. The Lord had indicated to him, no doubt, that he was interested in answering that prayer. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that ye both do right now, you're doing it right now, present tense, and you will do, you'll keep on doing the things which we command you. He's prayed there for them that they would remain faithful, that you do it, keep doing it, and continue to do it until Jesus comes. He's praying for them that they just be patient in whatever they had to endure back home, and waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ, waiting on his return. You know, the prophets of old prophesied the coming of Christ the first time, and then from the New Testament era forward, the church era, we're prophesying and preaching and proclaiming the coming of Christ the second time. And he said, just keep preaching it, just keep believing it, just keep living it, and just keep looking for it until Jesus comes again. That was his prayer for them. And so Paul's missionary prayer request is what we have before us there. So remember to pray for our missionaries, the Honeycutts and Brother Buford and his family as you pray. I'm just going to call on a couple of folks to word our prayer for us, and that prayer will lead us into our business meeting time. I think we should be able to get you done and home in the normal amount of time here with our reports and so forth, but we'll get that taken care of. And so I'm going to ask just a couple of our folks to pray for